threw the suitcase into my car and drove over here. Got here about before 2 o'clock. So they didn't see me. I took a shower and slept a little. So here I am. Oh, it's so wonderful to see so many from New York City. I didn't know we had this many young ones. New York City should have 5 times more young people, right? New floor, new paint. We're going to have a new projector here, or big TV, new station for you, right? Everything's brand new. You can see the stage was gone, right? It's a smaller one. So we're going to, the audio system, we're going to change everything. So to all make it for you. Charles, you got to do a PSAT? What grade are you now? SAT? I'm sorry. SAT? What's that? That's only in New York, not in New Jersey. In New Jersey, we never have SH. No wonder I didn't understand. So, like a Bronx Science and a Stuyvesant's, so on. The eight public schools, right? It's eight? Yeah, eight. Amen. So you're studying David. How many of you named David? Whose name is David? Like, come on, stand up. All the Davids. All the Davids, stand up. Come on. Oh, that Davids. So only two Davids? Seems like a David is out of fashion now, right? Oh, hey, another David. Oh, David Dong, huh? That's us. This is our second David Dong in the Lord's Recovery. We have another one here. Amen. Thank you, brothers. You know, David used to be a very popular name. What's the meaning of David? Beloved? Okay. Any other meanings? A young person. Okay. You know, who wrote the most about David's early days? You quoted a lot of verses from two books. Samuel. Do you see Samuel's shadow in David? You probably didn't read the Bible this way, right? So, how Samuel was born? Her mother prayed. Prayed voluntarily or involuntarily or forced, crushed, constricted. In what situation did she pray? Huh? How many children do you have?
Four.
You want more? Why not? I don't want to force you to see. Have any thoughts crossed your mind? Lord, I shouldn't have had four. Maybe two would be enough. I know. That's why I'm not going to force you to. See, Hannah, right? That's a good name. Palindromic, right? H-A-N-N-A-H. You spell backwards. H-A-N-N-A-H. That's palindromic, right? Yeah. That's the first time I learned palindromic when I was doing DNA research. How to join the DNA together. It's palindromic. She's a woman who can give birth, right? Later, how many children did she born? How many? Eight. Where do you go? No, eight, seven, six, five. How many? Okay, why don't you check it out? First of Samuel. I forgot end of chapter 1 or early chapter 2. I think it's the end of chapter 1. She bore a lot of kids. You'll find out. Wow, she's a woman who really can give birth. But the Lord hold off of her childbearing and placed her in such an endurable situation to her. And then the other wife just keep giving birth. So where did you see this in Genesis? Did you see this? With Leah and Rachel. There's an internal competition. By those days, you think Hannah is thinking about God's interest? Oh, I'm asking a question you never thought about. No! All her thought was, I want to have a baby so I can remove my shame. I can boast and say, I can give birth. That's what Rachel did, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, Rachel was just finally, I'm not going to ask you the meaning of Joseph anymore. So she was just, finally. So how many children did Hannah bore? No, you said so. I think, yeah, seven. After Samuel, she gave birth to six more children. And more than the first wife. That's five. Including seven, six. That's a six, totally six. That's a still. Because, when we read the Bible, we always focus on Samuel. And we focus on Hannah's prayer. And we just forget what's behind it. There's a strife. There was a strife between the two wives. Just like Leah and Rachel. They were fighting. You know, the Lord sometimes really achieves his purpose through our fighting with the situation, circumstances, internally, externally. Many things actually go through our, outwardly speaking, is a material, physical, mental, anything. But behind it, never forget, is the Lord operating everything. Imagine such an old priest, Eli. His name is Eli, right? He's old. For a priest, you're not supposed to serve that old. Because those days, everything is in a shamble. Nobody cares. There's another situation in Luke 2. In Luke chapter 2, there's a brother named Simeon. Simeon was old. I did not say how old. So he's 80. was still waiting for that moment. The Lord prepared him through all the years. And, Lord, can I die? The Lord said, no, you cannot. I just want to die. No, you cannot. Please, no, until you see the salvation of Israel. So in his hands, I don't know how many children, how many babies he blessed. Why? Is this one? No. Is this one? No. Is this one? No. Year? No. 2 years? No. 3 years? No. Lord, I'm bored. I want to be with you. Until that one day. The Lord prepared him for so many years. Until one day, Joseph and Mary brought our Lord Jesus into the temple. Man, that was a day. You will be exalted. He says, Lord, can I live another 10 years? Because I saw the salvation, can I live another 10 years? So I can see the reestablishment of the nation of Israel. No, he received the baby Jesus. Said, Lord, please release your servant to go. See, our whole life, you see, our whole life, doesn't matter what the situation was, or is, or will be. Maybe just the Lord prepared our whole life for one thing. For Simeon. I mean, how long was that service? 20 minutes? 10 minutes? 5 minutes? But for him, his whole life. For that service, for all the meaning, is only for maybe a few minutes. And he spoke a few words to Mary, right? And one word is, your soul will be pierced with a knife. Brothers and sisters, even though you're relatively young, and I was young once, I was young twice, I was still thinking I was young when I was driving over here, I was pretty tired, so. The Lord just used us, not that much. Many times we pray, Lord, my whole life is for you. The Lord, yes, see me, his whole life is for the Lord. But in his economy, in his whole grand plan, our function, our really being used by the Lord, maybe it's a very short period of time. And you have a lot of years to come. And so Hannah was not voluntarily to offer something to the Lord. See, this is where Hannah made the greatest deal with the Lord, because she had nothing. Isn't that a good deal? She had nothing. So Lord, if you give me a son, I will loan him to you. That word was a loan, right? I will loan him to you. Fortunately, she did not say, with interest. She did not say that. Lord, I will loan him to you. Which means, Lord, however you want to use him, he's yours. Whenever you don't want to use him anymore, and then he's mine. So this is where make a deal with the Lord. Lord, I loan him to you. Did the Lord hear that prayer? But who did he send to really seal that prayer with Hannah? Eli. But Eli just saw her, her lips were moving. And just said, go to her. Woman, you got drunk? Are you drunk? You see the time. You see the morning. What happened in Acts 2? 9 o'clock in the morning, the Spirit poured out. And everybody was speaking tongues in different languages. And then they were joking them. They just got drunk with a new wine. So Eli thought that woman was drunk. And then she expressed her sorrow. And then Eli sealed that deal on behalf of God. May Jehovah grant your wish. And then a few years later, because Samuel has to be weaned, right? W-E-A-N, right? Weaned? Yeah. Because for Israelites, weaning is about 5 years, yeah, 5 years old. So when she brought that little boy, hey, David, how old are you? 6. Can I borrow you? Come on. Come on, come to Uncle Peter, come on. Yeah. Come on. See? This is a Samuel. I know you're Samuel, but who is older? Yeah, I knew David. Okay, Grandpa Eli. Okay, stand there, okay? Can you imagine a mother of only one begotten son, and brought him to a dying old man? Eli is a dying old man. Did you realize that? And his family has take it. His family has no good reputation. The sons, Eli's sons, were doing evil things. Don't you think Hannah heard of that? Saw that? Yet, she kept her bargain. She kept her part of the bargain. See, I swear, I was the woman waiting and praying by the doorpost, by the gate. Here's the son. How many of you, Donna is a mother. Many of you are mothers. Have you ever thought about the way Hannah walked back to her home, leaving the son to Eli, without knowing if he got a food, the old man going to give him a food, caring for his sleep, beating him up? Is he going to miss mom, miss a family? Leah, you have 4, right? Imagine your youngest one. You had to walk 2 or 3 days back to where you live. How will be your heart-wrenching feeling? And every year. All right. Oh, I'm not talking about Crystal. Okay, anyway, maybe kill him. But since you think about it, That's how precious you are in your parents' heart. That's how precious you are in the Lord's eyes. That's how precious you are to the serving ones here. That's how precious you are to God's economy and to the church life. If one more day we don't see you, we feel our heart are wrenched. If for a period of time we do not see you, or if we hear some troubles going on in your family, in you, because we are not your really family members in a fleshly sense. Not your next kin. We cannot break down your door and to see what you're doing. Otherwise, we would, if it's not. Because we really hope, doesn't matter what our situation is, what the situation in your meeting hall is, we want the little Samuel to be with all the saints. And the parents will feel so relieved. Don't you think so? Thank you, David. Oh. Okay. My time is running away. I can't touch on the topic yet. But you think about how Samuel, from, let's say, 5 years old, never lived with his parents again, but living in the temple. And her mother, every time when she comes, for that one time, comes to Jerusalem, would bring a new set of clothes. You would have to think about it. Oh, when she was sewing, making that clothes, Donna, the mother, grandmother, can you imagine? Oh, maybe I should make it 3 inches longer, 4 inches longer. Oh, my Samuel. Hey, the serving ones, maybe quite a few times when we were fellowship with the serving ones. That's our hearts for our young ones. Because if Samuel grew up, you say, oh, Samuel is a special kid. Yeah, if I had such a son, I'll be very proud father. Look at my son, HSSAT. Huh? I don't know, what's the full score? SHSAT. What's the full score, Charles? 600? Oh, you think? 750. So it would be ideal if you get 800, right? Impossible. Oh. You know, when we see our case, our young ones growing up, fully immersed in the church life, doing services, going to the meetings, even playing in the meeting hall, in each other's home, sleeping over, oh, playing games together, reading Bible together, doing homework together, preparing for SHSAT together. Man, our hearts just overflow with joy. Church life supposed to be a community life, community living. Samuel was a poor kid. He had no companions. His companion was great-grandfather's age, right? Sort of like a great-great-great-great-grandfather, maybe. He had no companions. The Lord's special mercy really brought Samuel up. Samuel, you think he was praying for someone similar to his heart? Would you dare to imagine that? Hannah was pressed to pray. Samuel comes. What do you think of Samuel was praying for Israel? Ah, he was praying for Israel. If you read Samuel, it clearly said he was praying for Israel. When he was praying for Israel, and when the Israelites, his first prayer will be for the Israelites to take Jehovah as their king. But those guys, they said, let's follow the fashion of the nations. Let's follow them. Look at a Google. Look at a Instagram. Look at a Twitter. Snapchat. Tumblr. Look, Apple. Uber. Uber. Everything can take our hearts away. Everything can refashion us, refashion our views, refashion our values. Samuel must be praying. Lord, I know I'm not that pure. I know. Am I the only one? But for Israel, he is a tall guy. Tall, handsome, powerful. Saul, right? A guy from the tribe of Benjamin. Saul. He's like a Shaq O'Neal. Have you ever seen Shaq O'Neal? Sorry! Shaquille O'Neal. Shaq. Shaq. Okay. Sorry. Hey. Oh, maybe. What's the other guy? No, Curry O'Neal. Charles, no, that's the old one. Michael Jordan. Now it's LeBron James, right? Right. Yes, I got it. LeBron James. Oh. Michael Jordan. Chicago Bulls. Number 23. I got it. Wow. You can see, I used to love NBA. If you want me to count the numbers down, I remember a lot. Oh, that's also part of the fashion of nations. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hey, you can see Samuel was praying. There came David. Brothers and sisters, if you see the character of Samuel and the character of David, and I've seen Chinese. Last year in Thailand, I was with about a couple hundred young ones. We did an exercise to scan over Samuel, a scan over David, and to list all their characteristics. Positive, negative. Actually, we made about 80 80 different characteristics of Samuel and David. I'm not sure if you have that time as homework. Maybe give them as homework. If you read the first and second Samuel, and go through the David until the first Chronicle by the end, if you list all the traits, you will get enlightened. The whole class, about 2 hours, that's all we did. I didn't say much. By the end, I don't have to say anything. Hannah was praying. Samuel comes. Samuel was praying for the nation of Israel. David comes. Because I know this four outlines cannot do justice to David, because time is too short. But David, just from a babe, in his nature, he is different. How can a 15 years old young boy can be like David? You know, when I was 15, I was like a hooligan. My father was chasing me around in the village. If they caught me by then, Uncle Peter knew more at the age of 15. But his character, don't you marvel at his character? He never did an SHSAT. I think he wrote a lot of psalms. I don't know, did he ever go to school? Stuyvesant? Columbia? No, he wrote so many psalms, 70 some psalms. Because his heart. His heart, full of good matters, overflows good things regarding our Lord. So yes, his heart is very important. When he grew up, did he got a fight with the older brothers? How many older brothers does he have? Seven. So he was the youngest, right? And did he got involved in some fighting with the brothers? You don't think so? Gonna beat up? When I look at you, if you were David, you would. Every young people has his own characters. It's not how well David behaved; it's his heart. Everybody can have, you know, different ways to be, you know, it's all. Some may break a window, some may kick the dog, some may do a lot of different things. But it's the heart. It's the heart that comes. In the New Testament, we know there's a Paul. But in the Old Testament, now we're talking about Samuel and David. The sermon was, I don't know if they're going to give you the homework, but I do hope you, on your own, maybe you can do this exercise. If you need it, I can translate it, what we did, into English as a reference. It was a very, we did the three characters, Samuel, David, and Saul. Yeah, Samuel, David, and Saul. Just comparing. It was very, very enlightening. Okay. I'm so finished up. Time is out. Let me give you a few. Okay. David, he got through the grow up period. And later, he committed sins, which you're going to fellowship tonight. He had a failures. He had multiple failures. Of course, in his personal life, he had a failures. And in his married life, he had a failures. And in his own family life, he had a failures. And in the kingdom, managing the nation, he had a failures. He's just like a regular man. David is just a regular man. Okay, let me summarize with two things. I want to have some carry home messages. One is when he was facing Goliath? Did I pronounce it right? Yeah, okay, thank you. Goliath, that's a Shaq with David. Huh? Shaquille O'Neal. Did you see David here? David Dunn? That's, if you have a Shaquille O'Neal and a David, you think Shaquille O'Neal gonna be afraid of David? No, of course not. Reasonably speaking, David should be afraid of Shaquille O'Neal, right? You can see his heart is not being wild, but his heart was always joined to the Lord. In our real life, there are many Goliaths, visible and invisible, particularly invisible things, are crushing our hearts. For example, almost a year ago, last March, we had a special fellowship on some situations with young people. One is the Blue Whale Games. Blue Whale Challenge. Did we do that? That's last March. Actually, early April. We had a special fellowship with young people and serving ones in the family and parents regarding the Blue Whale Challenge. It's a suicide game. And in between, you can see that's an invisible Goliath really devouring our many babies. Actually, we had one young brother who committed a suicide. We don't know what's that reason or not, but that's why we had that special fellowship. We brought it out. Several things going on. And many anxieties in our hearts are invisible Goliaths trying to crush you. For example, marijuana is getting very, very prevailing and even legal in many states. And I'm not sure any one of you sitting here smoking weed. That's called smoking weed, right? Yeah, smoking weed. And my last research project was researching on the effect of cannabinoids on weight loss. So because we want to produce using that mechanism to produce weight loss medication. Of course, it didn't work on me. But that mechanism can consume a person, not only bodily. Actually, it causes different wiring of the brain. The neuron firing and a memory jointing the new neuron generating to form new memory network being deformed. As a matter of fact, there's only one class of it, one class of drugs. There are many other Goliaths attacking us at these days. The opioid type of drugs. This resurgence is really taking a lot of lives, not only damaging lives, but killing lives. And in New York and New Jersey area, it's getting very dangerously epidemic. And in many of your schools, smoking weed probably going to become a fashion. If you don't conform to their fashion, you are out of your league. You will be regarded as an outlier. You may be outcasted that has no friends. Are you willing to be Samuel? Just with a bunch of old guys in church life. Just nothing better to do, just reading Bible, and praying, and serving, sweeping floor, vacuuming floor, and singing hymns. Are you willing, brothers? Yeah? Can we have you brothers at the Samuels? I don't know if any other things going on in your life. In many schools, actually particularly in mainland China, a coughing drop. Cough syrups. And the purple drinks, the leans. Purple drink.
Drink.
Purple drink. There's one young brother, 3 years ago, three and a half years ago, when I was visiting a place in China, and his family went bankrupt because of this young brother drinking the cough syrup. Because he has to increase the quantity, because to get the kick, what do you call it, the kick? The effect. Get high. Brothers and sisters, in the church life, actually, in this country, from elementary school to high school to college, it's becoming a party drink. It's becoming a party drink. And now you're doing SHSAT. If anybody drinks that, forget about your SHSAT. All your SAT will go down the drain. If you smoke pot, If you smoke pot, your life will be ruined. If you drink that purple thing, whatever that is, if anybody offers you a drink, say, it's going to make you feel good. It's going to make you high. I tell you, be like a Samuel and David. I'd rather not to have this friendship. I'd rather forsake this friendship than forsaking my Lord, than forsaking the church life. Otherwise, you will be dragged into a swirling drain, powerful drain, drain to the swamp, drain to, I don't know where it's going to flow. Because for Samuel, he never had a companion other than old Eli. Unfortunately, many times, that's our church life in many places. So in New York City, we have so many young ones. You have a lot of companions. But you remember that the bumper sticker said, friend, don't let a friend drink and drive. Instead of, right? Yeah, friend, don't let a friend drink and drive. Brothers, don't let brothers to try drugs. Sisters, don't let sisters to try anything evilly, as evil as those things. Doesn't matter how depressed you are. Doesn't matter how difficult you feel. Doesn't matter how your parents are pressing you. You feel like, I wish I knew. Well, I did that. I know you have those thoughts cross your mind from time to time. Don't hurt yourself. Talk to the Lord. And talk to one or two of your confidants. So that's why the church life, your companions, should become your confidants. Become your best fellowship of partners. For that, you need to build up a prayer, a Bible reading, a play date. Just always hang out with the brothers and the sisters. Always hang out with the brothers and sisters. Otherwise, there are many Goliaths, visible, invisible, always ready to crush you. And our Lord prepared a brook. What's the brook, the word used, right? Stream. Where did David pick up? Brook, right? I remember it's a brook. The Lord prepared us a stony brook with a shiny pebbles. Five pebbles. You only need a one. Brothers, two or three may not be enough. Maybe you need a five as a group. Sisters, five sisters band together. Allison, maybe five fives band together. Five is the number of responsibility. And band together, always caring for one another. Always remind one another and to bear each other's burdens. And if you have a really oppressed, things like that, call the serving ones. Call those companions. Really, don't let Goliath crush you. We need to collectively defeat Goliath. This day, the pressure is high. The pressure is high. I know. Our brother Charles just got baptized last Saturday, right? No, two Saturdays ago. Oh, not baptized yet. Our brother Charles and Ethan, with their mom just got baptized. They all got saved. They are here. Praise the Lord, Ethan. Praise the Lord, Charles. And be in the church life. And be with the brothers. And even though you're new, don't think that you are new. You are already 6,000 years older. And you are our brother. You are our brother. Brother Charles, brother Ethan, stay in the church life. And we need to be together to overcome this age, because this age is evil and trying to crush us. And you're all babies. You all should be Samuels and Davies. Collectively, we're corporate Samuels and corporate Davies. We need to watch out for each other. And the brothers, really, particularly to the brothers, drug, weed, those kind of drank are evil. Evil. Don't touch them. If you see any brothers and sisters, may be tempted, but draw into it. Pray for them. If you feel you cannot do much, pray for them. And let your parents know. Let your serving ones know. Because we want our church life to be a safe haven for young people. A safe haven to produce Samuels and Davids. Praise the Lord. I hope tonight you learn more from David's failure. And unfortunately, I have to drive back after dinner. So praise the Lord. So happy to see all of you here. And unfortunately, you cannot do downhill skiing, huh? I'll give you a secret. When the snow was poured with summer rain, it's more slippery. So those slopes. Don't worry about it getting wet. You know what I mean. Praise the Lord. Have dinner. Have some good dinner. Tomorrow morning, got to be scrambled egg. I was going on. We're going to crank a lot of eggs.
Back to your seats now. It's not over.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen.